Praise be.
Praise be. Praise be indeed. Ready, ladies?
All right. I
can't see shit from back here. Okay, we're good to go. My little pen, your little notes, your titties.
Yeah. Trifecta.
This is really like speaking to our personality types.
Yeah, no, this is really special. Okay. Man eater, man hater, man lover. All the above, none of the above. We are going to find out today. We are talking, people, about the line between feminism, female power, cheering these ladies on with also, as you know, the male bash, male hating era. Okay, where is the line? Is there a line? Is the line in the abyss? I know this is something you're all very passionate about, so let's get to it, okay? I can't think of two better people to be having this conversation with because these bitches are the most hardcore female advocates in Nashville, in the stratosphere. Like, you guys know I am all about empowering women in all the ways. Like, I feel like these two are about to eat me alive. So without further ado, we have, like, I feel like I may be the most male adjacent here. We will find out. So we have to my right, Shay Carter, who I absolutely adore. Both of them are my friends, by the way. So if I call them bitches and hoes, I'm not sorry. Okay, with brains, obviously, on brand. So we have Shay Carter, who is an LA native. I just adore her. She's a multi-hyphenate. She's a playwright, a podcaster, a performer. And she's the co-founder of the Women of Tomorrow Foundation, which is all about women activism and advocacy, and it's just absolutely genius. So you can fact check me on that and you will find nothing, okay? Like, no lies detected. To my left, we have returning guests. You remember this face, you remember the brains, you remember the titties, which, by the way, like, could you please dress a little more modestly? You're making me feel uncomfortable. Is Lou Ridley, who is an activist, an artist, very, very passionate about this. And you ladies, listen, like, I'm not blowing smoke up your tits, up your ass. Like, you know your shit. You know policy. You know, you know your research, personal experience. Like, when I say you've made this your life's work, you have made this your life's work. So the thing that is so interesting, though, about you two is you are very much, like, you are feminist. Hear me roar. Like, safe to say you err on the side of liberal, right? But you're not quite woke, either of you. Anyone want to hop in with that? If you are, if you're not, when it comes to all of this, right? Because I think a lot of the times, in all honesty, people think feminism has gone too far. It's like, eradicate men, like, get out of here. And that's not really equality, right? So woke, yes, no, maybe a little.
I don't like the description of someone who is able to free think and see all sides of an argument being woke by default. I want to have equality for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that anytime there's a social issue, it gets pushed to the extreme because everything is a pendulum. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that I'm woke because that implies that I'm not able to see the other side. And I am. I'm in the middle. But don't take my fucking rights or anyone else's. And then tell me this is a free country.
She's like, period, Shay. Shay's like, ma'am. And by the way, just a little bit of background. Shay's, like I said, an LA native. And she and I both have been in the Hollywood circles. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you even more than I, because I was you even, like, on a personal level. Me, you know, career work-wise. So also, like, Shay has that. And you as well, right? We have that kind of, like, point of view as well, so being in that mix.
My issue with woke is how I think that we create these labels to diminish facts. We use these labels to not hear information that is factually and statistically true, so we can discount it. Well, that's woke. That goes in this category. These people are in this category. So then you don't have to listen. You can turn your ears off. And I think the issue that we're having is a lack of information and a lack of trust. And if you can't keep your ears open long enough to hear new information and have your mind changed, you are lost. And so I hate all of these labels mm-hmm. that are putting people in a box, because we each have an individual experience. Mm-hmm. Each individual trauma and rape and assault is unique to that person. And so I think in creating these categories where you put everybody into a box, it's a lot easier to dismiss. It's a lot easier to pretend it doesn't happen. So no, I don't think I'm woke. I think I'm Shea Carter.
Yeah. And both of you guys said that, like, even when I first met both of you individually, you had both said something to this effect, which is like, look, I have a problem with the extremes on both sides. Like, they're both off their rocker, and like, let's just get to what it is. So you mentioned like heavy things like rape. We're going to get to, obviously, because as this pertains to men and women and the dynamics, we're going to get to Me Too a little bit later in this. Like, don't worry, it is coming. But
we don't lead with rape, you know?
No, exactly. It's like just on a Thursday, you know, just keeping it light here. No, but we are going to get into all of this because let's be real, right? Like, that is a branch off of it, but the dynamics between men and women right now are like all sorts of kooky. So let's have a little fun and get into this. Like, we are going to talk about, you know, what is a man, masculinity, even us as we dress, like being a woman, you being a woman in all of our, being a woman, you know, I'm every woman. So Chaka Khan knew. She knew. But first off, let's address the elephant in the room. Okay. So your work is very, very cathartic. You often target powerful men who do bad things. Again, we're going to get to this later. But you right now, Lou, are in your feminine rage revenge season, SZN, okay? And Shay, you've said things to me that are like, you know, basically a guy just doesn't have to, back to the rape. She's like, basically.
Shay, back to the rape.
Well, let's get to it. As women, we're having to think about it all day long.
Well, okay. So it's off of that, right? So Shay has said, you've said things to me like, basically a guy doesn't have to rape someone and he's a good guy, which I'm like, I get what you're saying. To me, it's a little bit of a stretch. I'm like, I get the essence of what you're saying. But with that being said, what would you guys say to someone who's like, oh, just another man hater? Are you man haters?
Absolutely not. I'm a humanist. I actually think that equality is going to be better for men too. I also recognize that abuse isn't just happening to women. And when you are an abuser, that is also a painful experience for you. And what are we doing to have a culture and a society that is like breeding men to want to be abusers? You see little boys, they're in love with their mother. That's number one.
Really good point.
And then all of a sudden something shifts and there's this locker room talk and there's this diminishing of women, and that's taught. That is not innate. And so I think it's a freedom for everyone and for men. So
we're going to get to that in a sec. And Lou Ridley.
I don't hate men. I like to kiss some of you. I just think
some,
very few of you. I don't appreciate the patriarchy. That's what I don't appreciate. It's not men. It's not all men, just like it's not all of any group. But the emotional intelligence is lacking to recognize the patriarchy and work together with us as women and as people to have a society that benefits everyone and gives equal opportunity to everyone within reason, of course, because we can't be equal all the time in every single way, but we can have something that's not so severely misaligned.
So interesting that you guys both say that, because I feel like something that's lacking is people will say like feminism, but their version, like I feel their version of that a lot of the time, especially like in the mainstream, is again what I said earlier, like F men, we don't need no man, eradicate men, even in the Barbie movie, which I get is like haha satire, but their idea of this female utopia is like the men are like brainless surfer boy plastic dudes, and you know, they're all emboldened by the real world's patriarchy and come back as these like huge misogynists, and women are in all like the Supreme Court, the scientists, the teachers, the lawyers. And to me, whereas like again, the men are like they're, you know, bus boys. And to me, I'm like, I want to see it like men and women going toe to toe and in all, like in harmony. I know it sounds a little yay, rah, rah, but like in these powerful positions together. And so, you know, has it gone a little too far of like, get men out of here, eradicate them, like the whole smash the patriarchy thing, right?
Okay, what I think is happening right now is we're in a moment of transition, and transitions are imperfect. And so expecting everything to click into peace and be perfect in a transition is insane. And so what the Barbie movie was doing that I thought was fun is they were trying to show a matriarchy in the same way that we have a patriarchy, almost like women were just going to take over in the way that men have and then run the system in the same way, only women are now in charge and men are smaller. When I think a true matriarchy is actually changing the entire system. And where you use the term toe-to-toe, I don't think it's toe-to-toe with men. I actually think that we all offer something unique as human beings. And the further away we can get from just creating these big separations between gender, and the more we can get to, this is what I have to offer from my experience, and this is what you have to offer. And with our powers combined and with equal consideration and space to hear the other person in their experience, then whatever we create from that is going to be better for everyone because everyone's voice was involved. But we have an ego, and we have this offense defense mentality, where anytime we get into a situation, we're thinking, am I playing offense or defense? And so now we're playing a game instead of having a conversation where I'm open and I'm actually listening to you. And we say holding space, right? Oh, I hate that term. Holding space, I'm holding space. Real holding space is having a conversation with someone and allowing it to be so safe that they can have their mind changed within the conversation. That you could say something to me that I've never considered because I don't have your experience. And I could say to you, wow, this opinion I had 5 minutes ago has been altered mm-hmm. by what you said. Right. And that doesn't make me a hypocrite. And that doesn't make me ignorant. In fact, it's the opposite. And so in our society, we're so quick to be like, don't ever change your view. That would be hypocritical, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And so then we really limit our ability mm-hmm. to expand and learn. So to me, a matriarchy is that. It's us teaching how to love and how to listen and how to grow. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's interesting just to piggyback off of what you said, like what they were doing showing a matriarchy. Like that's where, again, I get it. Again, like I said, it's satire, but that's where I feel like it was a little hyperbolic because yeah. I feel like, you know, they even had the Mattel executives in the movie were all men. And in real life, it's like the co-founder was a CEO. The board's made up of women, right? And even, you know, in day-to-day, like how many female leaders they are, right? So that's where, again, I feel like it just kind of drives home that idea of like men totally run the show. So, you know, something I always grapple with and talk about on my show is like the line of recognizing, yeah, men have put in, by and large, these structures and have run the show, but women have been, you know, we didn't get as much of a leg up, but like women are kicking ass and powerful. So the balance of acknowledging that, but also I don't want to say play into like a victim mentality, but be like, man, the patriarchy's just got me by the, you know,
dude. Yeah. We're not female
credit cards until 1974.
No, like, I know, but it's 50 years later.
That's how long has a country been a country?
But right now we are 23.
See what I mean? Eating alive. No, go ahead.
23% of the House and like 24% of the Senate. That means that we are not represented. We are 51% of the population and super underrepresented in all matters of government. And then if you just look into how many women are getting loans for businesses, women are trying to start businesses at the same rate as men, and we're getting about 12% of the loans. So it's not just about equal pay. It's not just about like, look at, there's one female CEO out of a Fortune 500 company. We are overwhelmingly the minority.
But it just to challenge you both. And like I said, look, okay, Shay has her stats. She has her stats. Like I said, they are not messing around, just spewing things, right? Like they are prepared. She's hot teacher, like I said. But just to kind of challenge that, isn't there, again, a balance of going, like I said, yes, we don't have this leg up. We're playing catch up, so to speak. But look at how far we've come, and we're going to go even further and hear me roar, right? Like that empowering mindset, not being ignorant to what has happened, but I'm just saying I think it's so much more empowering to be like, you know what, the patriarchy, so to speak, these people, whether it be, you know, in your business, in a meeting, whatever it is, like they don't run my life, I run my life, and I will climb the ranks on my terms, period.
But I understand what you're saying, and to a degree there's value to what you're saying. This is like, for me, when people reference like, well, look how far we've come since slavery. And I'm like, okay, I guess, sure. But I think you have to also be present to the fact that we're also losing our rights right now. Like, I am someone who gets on TikTok and talks about abortion. Mm-hmm. I have women that are having me help them get across state lines to get life-saving healthcare. These are married women with children. These aren't women of the night or whatever people make assumptions about. So it's like, I guess I understand what you're saying. And I think like in this, in like a pop culture way, we're making progress. But if you look at the actual statistics and the actual legislation, we're still severely fucked. And if anything, we're moving backward in a lot of this country. And all that's going to be left are places I don't want to live, like LA and New York.
So aside from, and then we're going to keep it moving after this, but when you say that we're fucked, someone like me is thinking like, I'm a free woman, abortion aside, because that is fucked. What else would you say are things like...
Can I just add one tiny thing to the abortion conversation? Yes. Because people just think it's the abortion conversation. My girlfriend who moved here from California, they're looking to have a second baby. Her gynecologist in Nashville, she said, how dangerous is it for me to get pregnant? And her gynecologist said, when my daughters turn 15, we are moving. Because if you have a miscarriage in your first trimester, I cannot help you.
Yes. No, that is fucked. That is fucked.
I cannot help you. And by help you, it means I cannot save your life.
Right.
If you are bleeding out, I am now going to be held liable because we have to prove the miscarriage. And so this is so severe beyond just wanting to have an abortion that I think that we can just wash over and be like, but no, I feel empowered. And you feel empowered until you realize that you have no rights. Like, I had a stalker in New York City. I never had a stalker before. I didn't know anything about victims' rights from state to state until I had an actual stalker and I needed help from the police. I thought the police would just help me. I went in there. I was getting death threats. I was getting photos taken of me from 20 feet away and sent to my phone. I had phone numbers. I had IP addresses from Instagram. And when I went to the police, they said, until you've been assaulted, we can't do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this. And then, of course, I do my research and I realize in most states, there are no victims' rights. Meaning if you are assaulted and your assailant gets put into prison, you're not notified of court dates. You're not notified when they're released from jail. Mm-hmm. So how do you think you have equality when you are living in danger and in fear of abuse?
Correct. Okay, so...
There's no extra brain power to create the next thing, to start your own business, to do all of the extra things that require so much energy when you're still living in a fight or flight state.
Right, correct. And you have to think about the level of consciousness in a state like this that it takes to literally just basically say women shouldn't be able to make their own decision about their body. You have to think of where they put women from a legislative perspective and a consciousness level to be having that conversation. Women are too stupid to make their own choices, therefore we need to take it away from them. If you think it's going to stop with abortion, you're incorrect.
But what about, I mean, obviously I'm pro-choice, but what about women? You have women who push for pro-life. So that's where it gets murky because, again, it's like easy.
Indoctrinated women?
It's easy to be like, you know, men are making all the rules, right? But that's where it gets murky. And I'm going to get into it in a minute, how women, what I've noticed, particularly older women who reinforce. tickling my throat. Kind of old school, archaic thinking of men. But first, okay, let's bring it to, you know, a bigger picture kind of thing again, right? Because I understand, like, I have the backs of dudes often. I've done a lot of reporting on this, op-eds on this, right? Because in my mind, it's like, we need them to understand. So eviscerating them, I feel like it's with this whole culture, like people, it gives them more of an adverse reaction, right? So it's like, let's bring them in. Like, I would cover so many events in LA, like women, da da, and I'd be like, where are the dudes? Like, shouldn't they be hearing this, right? So for guys right now, and that's why, and I've said this before, that's why little dick Andrew Tate is having his moment, because dudes have been so eviscerated that they're like, I feel seen, right? And I knew that was going to happen. So with that being said, for dudes who are understandably like, bro, I can't catch a break, right? Like I'm not saying we have to coddle them, right? But for guys who are like, I feel like I am the like perpetrator, I don't even know what I did here. Like, I'm just going about my day. What would you say to that, right? And how do you get through to them? Because even funny enough, setting up for this, I had a group of guys back here. They're like, we'd like to hear this combo. Like, we're passionate about this, right? So what would you say to them?
I would say if you are feeling as though you are not being treated fairly and you're being targeted, then you should take that and understand what the rest of us have been feeling the whole time. Use that fuel to help us get where we're trying to go, which includes your benefit.
You know, I often say, and it's what you said before, it's really about, and we're going to get to this, like, what is masculinity, which is such a polarizing topic. What is a man? Everyone's trying to define, right? It seems so simple, but like raising good guys and like being a good dude, it's not hard. So it's like apparently we are just missing the mark here, right?
I also think there's so much in like our lack of ability to communicate and then recognize how somebody else communicates and how they understand information. And I've been teaching wellness this year. And it's been really interesting to see what resonates with women and then what resonates with men. And when mm-hmm. I start to get more scientific and I start to explain like the physics of what's happening in a sound bath, all of a sudden the men are like, okay, I can kind of get by this. And it's basically because of the way that you're brought up. Like think about the little toys boys play with. Like that's how they find their foundation. And so I think that there's a big gap in how we're communicating, and because we're having an emotional response to something we should be having an emotional response to, but sometimes in the emotional response mm-hmm. we create this layer that's hard to get through or cut through or see through, and sometimes the emotion speaks louder than the words that you're using, and so then all the other person heard was your emotion, and then all they want to do is defend how they shouldn't be giving you that emotion mm-hmm. So now all of the conversation you were trying to have and everything you were trying to get through to the other person is now lost in the ether. Mm-hmm. It never landed on them. So I've been really trying for myself to create a space where I can feel calm enough and aware enough of the person I'm speaking to speak in a language that they can understand, because this is important, vital information that they can't know because they haven't had the experience of being a woman. So I need to be able to mm-hmm. let them know so then they can make better choices.
I feel like it's like, again, like
that's
boiling
an act of love, by the way. Yeah. That is a huge act of love.
Well, simplifying it, it's like self-respect and respect for other people. Again, like kindergarten stuff we're talking about here. I love what you said before about the idea of like not going toe to toe, but like being the yin and the yang. And that's something I often explore. And I love that. Like, I love that we offer different things where, you know, we bring different things to the table. What cracks me up is, have you guys seen those memes that are like, feminism leaving my body? Like, I just put one up and it's like, feminism leaving my body, getting my overhead luggage off the plane. It's like, sir, if you could please, like, suddenly arms are immobile. Being a good, strong, stand-up guy, again, where men and women are different. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to expect the guy. If there's a home intruder, I'm going to be like, you are out for dead. So you like, you got this, right? Are there any things where you're like, yes, that's valid. Like, here is feminism leaving my body, and the idea of chivalry and like strong masculinity, et cetera.
Well, I'm finding out in dating that I like, I guess what you would describe as princess treatment. But to me, like my desire for all of us to be treated with common decency and respect and have, you know, legislation that represents that they don't clash. And that's why I think like people think in extremes, like yeah, we were talking about. Exactly. So it's like, well, if you're a feminist, then get your own bag off the plane. I just want everybody to be okay. And I don't want to pick that fucking bag up, but I will, because
if there was an older woman that was having a hard time to get her bag up there, I would freaking help her. Right. So it's just more about like being able-bodied. Yeah,
Yeah. It's not like, oh, I can't do it, I need a man to do it. I just like, you know, I don't feel like it sometimes, and I'm not trying to eradicate men. I want you to keep picking stuff up and putting it down. That's one of the things you're best at.
I mean, one of them that so hits my soul, it's like feminism leaving my body whenever there is physical labor, manual labor involved. I'm like, yes.
I want you to be here. Like, pick it up, poo. It's
pick it
cute.
Up, baby.
Pick it but up. I love you.
But again, it's okay that we're different. Men are built bigger, more physical. Women, like, we're in the mind. We're cerebral. We're verbal. We're emotional. Like, that's okay. Like, we're the nurturers, right? So, AKA, fix my toilet and get my overhead bag. I don't know what else to tell you. But it's also, again, and this could go either way. I don't even know if this is necessarily a man women thing, but like my boyfriend and I were in Target. I'm like schlepping his ass around. He did not want to be there. And he brought me, like, again, like, this is where I feel like guys, like, again, stuff that is not hard and their brain cells have exited the building. He just out of the blue brought me my favorite coffee order in the aisle. I literally started crying in the aisle. I was like, oh.
Yeah, but your boyfriend is a really intelligent.
He's really in tune and so emotionally intelligent.
And I think that's part of the reason why sometimes it's easier for you to take such a middle ground. And that's also because you're intelligent and you want to play both sides, because that's what intelligent people do. But you also have such a positive force, a masculine force in your life, that I think it gives you a different perspective than maybe what our experiences have been, which is why it's important to have these conversations.
Absolutely.
And why it's important to have people like you, because again, like, where is your entry point?
Right.
You are a wonderful entry point because you're a safe space. Yeah. And because you are seeing the other side and you're verbalizing it and you're doing it in a way, it's funny, the opposite of light is not dark. In fact, you can't really get deep unless you have a levity about it. Like, if everything is so heavy, you get stuck.
Well,
but like,
comedy,
you're
right?
funny. And so all of a sudden, I'm disarmed by you. And now I'm like, ooh, I can talk to you about this because you're easy. Yeah. And so now we can get deeper because you're light.
Okay, I'm only paying them a little sum to talk me up like this, so just a little bit. But thank you very much. But no, but thank you, Shay. But getting back to it, what to you is a strong, good, exemplary man? Like, again, I know we kind of boil it down to sort of superficial things. Like I'm saying, like, open the car door, chivalry. Well, I love what you said. Emotional strength and intelligence is huge. But I think these little things matter, right? Like we see often, I feel, men having their tail between their legs, like ghosting, all these little things. And that's why it's like, if it's bringing you a coffee in the aisle, if it's hearing you, like show up. So what to you, what's missing? What restores that? And like, again, what is an exemplar man? Either one, who wants to hop in?
Emotional intelligence that the patriarchal setup has allowed them to get away from. That's all it is. We're different biologically. Like I said, pick it up and put it down. And if I need to, I'll fucking pick it up. But it's like, I think the real crux of the system and why we're pushing against it is because we've created an environment where men are not challenged to step up for us in the way that they need to, which goes back to what I said before. Like, I'm not looking for men to be eradicated. I'm looking for you to understand a piece of what we feel and use that to be with us, not against us. Not
I love that.
So that's both masculinity and femininity to me is emotional intelligence. The rest of it's just physical stuff that I don't give a shit about.
That's a good way of putting it. And I also love the idea of empowering one another. We're going to get to sex, goddess, body.
Men can be feminist too.
But yeah.
More than just understanding me, I need you to stand alongside me, right? And I need you to fight with me, because that's the only way we're going to make progress. If we're doing this thing where it's just women and we're excluding men, then we are not going to move forward.
Exactly.
No, we need men in the movement.
Yep. So pivoting, what I was going to say about that is having men in the movement is you all know about Operation Sex, Goddess, Body, like my ultimate body transformation, like boobs out, brains out, as these two do on brand, and a big kind of, and it's changed everything from the inside out, my energy, my self-esteem, just confidence, everything, right? And power, really. And funny enough, one of the kicking off points of this journey was a guy who was like, listen, I want to see my boyfriend. Okay. But like, I want to see you anonymous. But I know that this is like, you know, politically incorrect because it's like women, yeah, rah, rah. But the truth is a solid guy behind a woman. He's like, listen, like, I know how powerful men, I know how people think, like, I want you to be in your most power in all the ways, period. So for me personally, not for everybody, that has really been the idea, again, of like beauty and sexuality and that expression, hey, hello, and also intelligence and being the intellect. And funny enough, and also to me, and it's like, I'll play to that strength. Like, that's fine, right? But it's also an F you to both sides politically, because being here in the Bible Belt, which Lou Ridley, your song is my Bible. Oh, we'll talk about it. It's,
I told you, I know it.
Yes.
You really did.
To me, it is. It's really an F you to the, and I've had these conversations that as a New England tri-stater, I'm like, brain does not operate that way, but like, you need to dress modestly, right? But also on the other side of that coin, which is like, don't give in to some patriarchal male gaze of what hot objectification Pam Anderson of a woman is. And I'm like, fuck you all. I'm going to do what I want. And I feel the best. This spoke to both of you guys. I know that talking to you privately. So what about that message? I mean, like, I see both of you embodying that. What about that is power to you? And as feminists, like, what about that speaks to you and do you love?
I grew up in Southern California. I was wearing a bathing suit as my top. So, like, this is a shirt to me. A bathing suit is a shirt. So it's like I felt so comfortable in that. And you grow up in a beachy community and in that vibe. And it's so normal that when I would go to other places and all of a sudden I was objectified or judged by what I was wearing, I so resented it that I refused to do anything different. And there's something about owning your body, appreciating your body, especially as we age, and being like, I live in a crop top. I know right now I'm dressed like this, which is hilarious because usually I'm just basically, you know, in pasties. But I love how I'm aging. I love my body. I'm like very proud of it. I work really hard for it. I eat right. I do the right things. So like, why would I not like do what feels the truest expression of my appreciation mm-hmm. for like the luckiness that I even got these genetics, mm-hmm. you know, that I even have a body this healthy and capable. So to me, that is like so powerful. And if anybody else has a problem with it, I'm so happy to explain that.
Well, to me, and before you hop in, Lou, like for to me, what's so powerful is people will see you and think one thing. And then when they see you're smart, they're like, their brains just melt. They're like, cannot compute. And yeah. we'll talk about hate. And this is where I say women reinforcing what men have set in place, because oddly enough, I feel like the hate I get is either from men who are insecure, which is very rare. Most people, men and women, regardless of color, size, they're like, I fucking love this. Let's go. But are men who are insecure and older women, right? So we'll talk about that. But the idea of, again, also being intelligent, and they don't expect that. And I feel like with you, this is a huge part of your branding, because it is like your art is like so on fire. Like you're like, here is my ass. And I feel like for you, because you have, no, it's so hot. And you have written about, you know, in your music, like assault and all these things. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like for you, it's like reclaiming your sexuality. It's like, it is mine. Right.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. The sexual abuse I experienced was before anything Me Too related. So I wasn't able to tell anybody, and that created a lot of internalized shame, which then made me be like, you either need to close down or you need to sleep with everybody in town type thing. And I think that happens to a lot of people. So I guess part of what I do in terms of being naked all the time has to do with reclaiming, but I also just think the same people's minds I'm trying to change are the people that are offended by that. And I want to offend you, because I want you to go, why am I offended by this? Why does it, like, what is it? Why does it bother me?
Well, that's what I love and what's so genius about your branding, is because, you know, we are in the South, which has been a whole education for me. I talk about on my show, like, wow, another planet. And I could see you getting haters that's like, oh, this girl over here, she's going to be – and disclaimer, I'm not a survivor and I never experienced, right. you know, what you did. But I could see people giving you hate, like, oh, look at this girl over here. She's going to be talking about all these things and dressing like this. You know, it's like she's asking for it, which no one's ever asking for it ever. But I love that you push that button, because it's, again, it's that thing of like, you know what, I'm going to put it all in your face and all of my power and like yeah. eat my dust.
And period. That to me is the core of what I think feminism is feeling empowered enough and feeling brave enough to just do what I know other people don't receive well, because that's why my writing is so extreme and the like religious thing that I do is so extreme, is because I want you to look at it and go, what am I holding on to here with my belief system? Why are her nipples so offensive to me? What is it? And older women, I think, because in older generations, there was more shame around being sexual. So I think that's why a lot of them hold on to that, is because it's the same way that like older generations are like, you need to get out there and work till you're 65 and you don't deserve.
You're like, okay, boomer.
Yes. It's like, yes.
You're jealous. I grew up so Christian and conservative. And when I saw people living their best life, I was like, what a slut, because I was so jealous. And there's also this idea of we have to fit into this box, right? Like, oh, don't be a complainy woman. Don't be overly emotional. And it's funny, on the way here, I was listening to this talk and they were talking about complaining and how important complaining is, because nothing will ever change unless we recognize mm-hmm. that something's broken, go, hey, I'm calling out that that's broken mm-hmm. and here's the change. And the best way to complain is to make something. That's the only way that you're going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so like to take your talent, take your thing that you see is broken, and then create something with it. And the beauty of music and parables and art is that you can reach people right. in like such a deeper capacity. And what maybe they don't resonate with in the lyrics, they resonate with in the emotion and the mm-hmm. music. And so like, what a gift to let somebody know your experience, especially for other people that aren't survivors of this, right. that can only empathize at a distance. Like that brings them closer to it. Right. And taking a genre, just to like fucking pump your jam, taking a genre that has been
yeah.
so
true.
contained.
Confined.
And very insular.
Yes. Yeah. And to do it so and well. And yeah. you have a voice that is so classic.
No, it like haunts you in the best
it's
way.
It's so good. No. And it's not like
it you're is the voice in my head.
Decided to pretend to sing country music all of a sudden because yeah. now you're trying to flip it on its head. Yeah. You have that as your root. So, and then you're singing about things that that genre has not experienced and has yeah. not heard.
Yeah. No, it's like, iconic. It's iconic. It's so only a matter of time until good. Both of them blow up. You literally so heard it here first. Good. Women of Tomorrow and Lou, your work too. Like true. It is only a matter of time. I'm curious because we're all about like getting men in our corner. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, I think the crux of a lot of our problems is like men being insecure. So it's like this could be a whole other ball of wax, but why are they insecure? Why are they insecure? And like to me, like I said, even with my own journey, how it was my idea and my dude was like the biggest advocate behind it. Like to me, I always say this, it's like the guy who's like not threatened and is confident and is like, this is my girl. Like that is goals, right?
They're not used to being scared. Well, so this like, is new for them. We've been scared for generations. Well, like hundreds of years we've been scared. So we're used to living scared. This is the first time they've ever been scared. So they're like, we're all freaked out.
But are they – okay, go ahead. Well, I was going to say like why are they so insecure? Again, I think a part of it is this big like thing of like, man, you are all suck and you're bad. But like I don't know. It's got to be something deeper than that because again, like our grandparents, right? I don't know about you guys. Like my – both my grandpas, such good solid men, chivalrous, like again, strong, showed up. I always say like they'd be rolling in their grave saying these dudes are a mess. Like –
do you ever wonder, though, just to play devil's advocate, because I've thought about this, too. I didn't know my grandfather young. And, like, when I watch 80s movies, like, Sixteen Candles, Say Anything, I'm like, these guys in a rom-com are joking about having sex with that passed-out girl. That's how normal it was. Yeah. That's how common it was that in a rom-com. We're like, isn't that funny? She was wasted, and they had sex with her. Yeah. It was in the 80s. So, like
– it's a totally different time, right?
Yes, and we are just a product of what we see in front of yeah. us. Like, if you look at – how women join the workforce and you look at how media has influenced that, like there was no women in forensics until CSI came out and now it's primarily right. women. We embody the roles that we see. And if the roles that we see are how funny that girl was wasted and that guy had sex with her, you're like, that's fine to do.
No, right.
I'm not a bad guy for that.
I think though, to go into what both of you guys were saying earlier about how like, you know, you're like women are, you know, effed and all this. I do think though, that part of it is,
I don't think we're effed. Sorry.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Like, I think part of it, and I'm the, like, you know, optimist. And you guys are like, yeah. that's cute of you.
Sweet.
Yeah, no, exactly. like, this little one here. But is the idea of, like, all kinds of cultures and societies having to grow and change from where we were, and that's okay, and that it's not going to be overnight.
Yeah. Yes, and I was going to say, duties. You want me to hold it? Your little wrist
my
hurts.
My little dick.
She's so feminine.
My little dick, Mike.
This right on. I've never seen one that looks like this. I think small dick men are very afraid of me.
I'll say. What I was if they didn't have a small dick, they did because they were intimidated by you.
What I was going to say is that I think I'm hoping that men get to a place where they realize that the patriarchy isn't working for majority of them either. Oh. And that's the thing is like, yeah. I think we're always saying like, men have it so easy, and I think a group of men have it very easy, and they're normally the descendants of other men that set it up that yeah. way. But I think there's quite a few men who don't benefit at all from the patriarchy and have learned to internalize what it means to be a man, and if they can't do certain things or they're physically incapable or maybe they have this set of skills instead of this set of skills, they're not man enough. And I think that that's dangerous too, and that is also a thread of the system we have set up here. So that's why I keep saying I want them to be with us, because Pookie, it's not for you either.
Well, what's so interesting is I've heard and seen both sides of it. Like sometimes when I have meetings, whatever it is, I will be like, how did this dude get this position? With no qualifications, like I need an answer. I need receipts. Like I need to see the interview transcript of how they got this job. But then I'll hear guys on the other side of that. This is just a little sidebar saying like, you know, see, and this is the other side of this I don't like, but it's like, you know, the filling the quota with women. And like, now I can't slip up at all. Like women can get away with murder basically because dudes are the bad guys right now. So it's like both sides of that coin. But last kind of button on this before we get into Me Too. When we talk about, because obviously something, yeah, I just needed to keep my eye on time, be like someone a professional, you know?
Into my twat. It'll be
right here. Perfect. Okay. Like as usual, like nothing I'm not normally doing on a Thursday. Where I'm already am.
Here it is.
No, exactly where I already am. how do you feel? Obviously, I'm all for women being fully realized, fully actualized in all ways. And someone who recently was, I was just like, yes, bitch, was Florence Pugh, because she, in like a very Talk to Me Taylor-esque style, came after critics because she had gone like braless and shown her nipples and went after critics being like, okay, I don't give a shit what you think. I'm having the best time and everyone knows it. And I love that, right? But I also feel like, don't confuse that though with young women being sexualized all the time. Like, it is, even on Instagram, I'm like, why do these 15-year-olds have like boob jobs and lip fillers? Like, what? I had braces and acne. Like, what is happening? So that's where it's like, okay, as a fully grown woman who's like, yes, I want to do this and I'm emboldened and empowered and again, realized versus, you know, that. And I don't want to step on anyone's expression, so to speak, but that to me is like, needs to be differentiated and where it's gone a little bit too far. And I will also say, you know, again, it's easy to like, oh, men are to blame because they've set these standards. But I feel like with that, it is like women perpetuating it with women. Look at the Kardashians, like all the filters, seeing their friends, like giving women these standards and perpetuating this cycle. So what do you guys think about that when it comes to it being younger and younger and just everywhere and like, again, drawing that line, right?
Well, don't get me started on the produce and the hormones in our food, because that has a lot to do with why these young people and these young women are presenting at a younger age. But I, you know, I feel like, of course, there are always going to be women who perpetuate certain things, and that's going to be said about anything. There are always people that are going to be extreme, but those are not the collective opinion. And in terms of sexualizing versus sexual freedom,
right?
I think the delineation comes in when it's, is, am I doing this because I know I need to be successful or to be whatever, or am I doing this because I feel free? So I think it comes from a place of intention.
Yep.
And only in a safe society can people sit with themselves long enough to understand where their intention is.
I love that. 100%. And I always want it to come from a place of, again, self-assurance, confidence versus my hands are tied, or validation, or I'm insecure. I want attention. Right. Like, no good. We don't want that. We want it to come from a high up place of, you know, knowing and being secure and sure in it.
Intention is hard when you are coming from a long line of survival technique. Yes.
Yeah, and it's exactly a survival technique. And there's also, everything is a yes and, right? It's what you said. There is a delineation, but there's also a hybrid experience where I recognize that more people will listen to me because of the way that I look. Like, even in the wellness that I teach, I am white and Christian looking enough to get you to maybe listen to some chokras. You know what I mean? I can all of a sudden be a gateway drug to something. And I recognize that on Instagram, I have friends that are going to use their sexuality and their beauty in order to gain a bigger audience to then say the things that they want to say. And do I wish we lived in a perfect world where just because when you were saying something profound, people would just listen? Yeah, I do. But if it comes wrapped in a beautiful package, we're more likely to go for it.
Exactly.
One thing I like that I think is kind of an interesting way to look at filters and our ability to distort is, one day I think that we're going to be able to just, you know, buy a face, buy a body, and maybe it will make our physical characteristics less valuable. Maybe if you could just like buy the face or the body that you wanted, which we're kind of getting to, it'll make it like less important, and maybe who we are internally will then become more valuable, which I hope in the future of things. Obviously, we're in a weird transitional moment. Yeah. And social media, all of this is new. We don't know how to use it yet. And we have little kids kind of running rampant because their parents are older and they're not sure what Snapchat is, you know?
To take a really dark sidebar off of that, like when you say in the inside what is what matters, of course, and like I love the physicality of it, like I have found so much power in that. What's dangerous if you're going to the extreme of that is I had a really interesting conversation with a young Muslim guy here in Nashville talking about why, you know, women being covered, you know, head to toe and having no freedom, no expression is actually freedom. Because they are not subjected to like physicality and societal standards, and they can be seen for who they are on the inside. And I'm like, that is like, what are you even saying? Like, that is crazy to me. But that's like the extreme of that, right? Is like stripping away the expression and the freedom of the physical.
I don't think you can find out who you are at all if you're not able to have the freedom to express yourself. I think it's challenging. I think it's difficult because that it's such a religion is hard because it's like, who am I to speak on what it means to be Muslim? Like, I have no idea. But what I would imagine is that it is a challenge for these women, even if they don't feel comfortable vocalizing it, in some situations at least, to not be able to explore what their inside manifests as physically. Do you know what I'm saying?
100%. And this is where I mean, it is also one of the most oppressive against women, you know, in the world. That's where religion gets really dicey. But this is where I will say, notice how the men are uncovered head to toe. Interesting, because they're threatened by what we have, period, and the power and all of this, right? Like, I don't see them being covered.
Normal to you until it's not. Like, you're in an abusive family and you're like, this is what family is, until you get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so it is hard to speak to someone else's experience, because maybe we would talk to somebody who's like, no, I feel very empowered, covered like this, because I can give a stank face and I cannot be judged for that, or I can like not put makeup on and just leave the house. You know, maybe they feel that way because they haven't experienced the other side. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. It's not like anyone's lying. They're just speaking from their experience, which is very different than mine. And it makes me wonder, well, try the other and then speak to it. Right.
Yep. All right. So lastly here is, you know, the very light, easy breezy topic to do in 5-10 minutes, but me too. No, exactly. Perfect. Oh, thank you for the time check. Oh, okay. I have like my little assistant here. Thank you. But it was not in your bush though, so I'm a little upset about that. That was false advertising on your part. Thanks. So as I think both of you may know this, but I've been reporting on Me Too. I've written op-eds. I was on the red carpet with the black dresses. I've interviewed R. Kelly survivors, right? So we're going to look at this big picture here, because I know that this is something that is near and dear to both of you in a very intense way. The way I see it, right, is that this has been an issue, and now there are even more problems. Right. So one of them is the politicization of it. So, right, it's like the Me Too organization fell apart because we've come to find that they are literally advising Andrew Cuomo when he has accusers against him. It's like what happened to Believe Women.
That
like what?
Some people in the organization were. I think it's hard to say everyone, because if there weren't incredible people.
Not everyone. Yeah. A couple of the heads of it. Right. So that's one thing. It's also become a really murky thing of who he said, she said. We have one side of it where if a man is accused, I always advocate for due process. Like, I think it's dangerous for if someone's accused, their life is ruined and all of this. On the other end of that, and you talk about this in your work, is the women who, you know, their lives are destroyed, they're not believed, all this, right? And it's just become very messy. I think a big part of this, again, and this is where it's all like very murky, is the idea of consent. And I think consent is very important because, and I know every situation is different, but this is where it's gotten really murky because, you know, we were talking about it and I agree, like if you consent to A and B, that doesn't mean that you consent to C. But to me, there's a difference of, you know, in that moment, if you are in control, if you have autonomy, if you're able, and you draw that line with a specific act and say, no, I don't like this, right? I want to empower women to have that responsibility and accountability, right? Now, if you are not able, if you say no and the person keeps going and forces you and against your will, that's a different story.
If you're intoxicated, if you're suffering from freeze, if you're...
That's a different story. But that's why I say this is what has made this whole conversation so murky, because we've seen instances of women speaking out and they consented even by their own admission. You know, men have been exonerated, all of this. And so what I don't want is for women to not be believed, like the boy who cried wolf. And now we're seeing with all these kids, well, I don't know what to believe for. It's like, we want them to be believed. And that's why I feel like it's really dangerous to say things like, oh, consent, it doesn't really, you know, because it could be on both sides a dangerous thing. We really have it.
Do you think that the judicial system is patriarchal? Do you think it's actually based in doing due process, having due process?
I think it depends. I think it can be very corrupt, obviously.
I think that it is very corrupt. So what is due process anymore? What has it ever been in this country? So I know from experience that a lot of the time, even when we're saying something has happened to us, people, not even just women, but people, we're not getting, nothing's happening. And especially if that person who has done the act has power. So there's due process at some level. And I think that sometimes it's working, but so much rape goes unreported. How many rape kits do they have that they don't go through? So it's like, it goes back to the same conversation of like, it's always, everything we have is leaning toward one group of people. And I think until it's in the middle and there is actual due process, that can't really be a point of argument, because more than likely the person saying that something happened to them is probably telling the truth, and we cannot lean on the outliers that abuse that people are finally being listened to and then disregard everybody else. That makes no sense.
So I have a friend, for example, who's a survivor, and she's talked about kind of the things I've alluded to, women who maybe it was like a little rough or whatever, but they consented. And then after the fact, we're like, I don't like that. And see, that's why I want to empower women, because you can't assume the person knows. Like, you have, you know what I mean?
Can I jump in here really quick?
Yes. Let me just finish this really quickly. Yeah. And so my friend who herself was in a very bad domestic abuse, you know, relationship and got out of it, has you know, agreed with me in that, like, there's a difference, and we need to be able to believe people. And so if you consent to something, like, you consent. And it's like basically saying, like, I want to be heard. It washes away my experience, kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think that if you err on the side of wanting to believe that someone who is recounting a harrowing experience is lying, then you're erring on the side of the same system we're all trying to fight.
Shay?
So where I think waters get murky is because people aren't equipped with the proper statistics. And so then it somebody who doesn't agree can be like, oh, these are just opinions. This isn't happening very often. So I think it's important to hear that false rape charges are not frequently made. According to the Department of Justice, 1 in every 2.7 million heterosexual males will have a false claim made against them. 1 in 2.7 million, according to the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like, you know, 30% of women are lying. No, 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 no.
When is that from, Shay? Do you know?
The Department of – this is from 2021. So what I'm saying in this is, when you look at the staggering numbers, regardless of how what your opinion is or how you feel about it based off the limited information you have or what the media has taught you, when you look at the numbers, women are being victimized, and it's most women. And it's not that this doesn't happen to men. Men are also victims of rape, but it is – an infinitesimal number comparatively to women. And so, yeah, when we're talking about believing and we're talking about something that is so difficult to prove, and the truth is, if I were assaulted, knowing what I know, if I were raped by an affluent person, there is no way I would press charges, because what happens when I press charges, this is the due process. What happens is I have to go in and get a rape kit. So that is a whole other invasion of my body. Then once I prosecute this person, it is no longer me versus them. It is the state versus them. And in most states, I do not have victims' rights, meaning in some states, I won't even be allowed in the courtroom. That they're going to then try to make me an imperfect witness by bringing up all of my personal things. So now, not only have I been physically assaulted, I've been personally mm-hmm. assaulted. And then the likelihood of that person ever being convicted is so small. So I wouldn't even come forward. So the amount of women that are coming forward is an incredibly brave act. It is true that I think a lot of the men that are committing these attacks do not fully believe that they were doing anything wrong. They believe that there was consent. They believe that they're in the right. I think that both people believe that they're telling the truth, but there is abuse happening. And so we have to listen, and we have to learn how to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those statistics are what I mean when I say, what do you mean by due process? Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
On a right, and that the going into the weeds of that are things that I feel like the average person would not know, right? Mm-hmm. On a societal level, right? Like a little bit of levity, because I know that this is so heavy and is, you know, very intense, you know. I feel like, and this isn't Me Too specifically, but again, making the dynamics between men and women really weird right now. I have had, you know, I've had friends say with like young sons, like, don't even, like, don't go to, you one thing said, your life's over. You will get kicked out of school. Don't even look at a girl the wrong way. Like, I remember when all this was happening, I was on a red carpet and this man was like, please don't, you know, whatever, but you look really nice today. Like, wanted to give me a totally platonic, very sweet compliment. And that's where I feel like it's gone a little far in making our human dynamics out of whack, even things like that.
Because our whole lives and the women before us, don't wear that. Don't get too drunk. Don't go walking by yourself. Don't. You mean you feel fear finally? Welcome.
Well, I feel okay. So when it comes to that, like the walking in the dark alley, right?
You know this what is I'm saying though.
Yes, this is another take that I have that is very controversial. I will say, as a small petite woman, I would never walk in a dark alley at night alone. Period. Now, someone will say, "Well, you shouldn't have to. Men shouldn't do bad things." Of course, they shouldn't. And we should foster a world where they're not. But I'm also in reality, and I want to again equip women with arming themselves, right? Like, why do people rob banks? Why do people murder? People do bad things. So we need to get to the crux of those issues. But in the meantime, yeah, I'm going to protect myself. And you bet your ass I'm not walking down a dark alley at night, period.
Right. But you feel empowered to say, I'm going to protect myself. And it's when you're explaining how men feel, they're the victims of this new fear where they can't compliment you. I'm so fucking sorry you can't compliment me. Are you going to be okay? Are you going to be good? You're meanwhile going, I'm going to protect myself. I'm not going down that alley. Why can't men go, I'm just not going to say weird shit for a while. I'm just going to shut the fuck up and vibe out.
No, I get that. No, I get
what I'm saying.
No.
And you are saying, I'm willing to not walk down a dark alley because that's normal. That shouldn't be normal.
No, I agree with you. But I'm saying in the meantime, like, let's empower women to have their wits about them and protect themselves, period. I go around with pepper spray. Again, is that okay? No, but we're not in a utopian world. We're in a dark, sad world, period. No, should we fix the problems? Absolutely.
It's not dark
but
alleys.
We can't act like, you know, we, you know.
Exactly. It's not dark alleys. It's not you're dark mostly, alleys. You're most likely to be raped and assaulted by someone that you already know.
No, I know. That's a,
you know what I'm saying?
And the things that we should be teaching little kids, we teach it on the Women of Tomorrow community app. We teach like how to teach your kids about consent. Can I tickle you?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I won't tickle you. Not you have to give your uncle a hug. No, you don't.
What I'm saying is like basic. No, listen, like basic human connection. Like the guy complimenting my dress, it wasn't creepy and weird.
But guys, nice that he said that to you.
No, I was like rolling my eyes. I was like, you can compliment me. It's okay.
But that just goes back to the fact that as women, I feel like we keep getting called victims for finally saying something about what we're experiencing. But men are like, I can't even compliment a girl anymore.
No. I get
fucking cry me a river. I can't go running.
No, I get that. No. I get that. I'm just saying like basic human connection. Okay. This is not but I'm saying like, okay, even like I'm very touchy feely. Like when I was a waitress, they call me Touchy Taylor. You know me. I'm like, hey guys. Okay. There's this. See what I mean? I'm dressing you.
They call you Touchy Taylor.
But I'm saying, okay. So like I even have a friend who's a teacher.
Sign the NDA.
I am not Harvey Weinstein. No, literally. I'm not the spawn of Harvey. A friend of mine who's a teacher, and she was saying like even with their students, they can't even be like this. Like they have to touch them with a pencil. It's stuff like that that I'm like, are we for real? Yeah. That's the kind of basic human connection that I'm talking about. If someone wants to compliment my dress, like now, you know, to me, it's a line of what is inappropriate. Like, do you need to be saying inappropriate, rude, weird, degrading shit? No, like bow out, get a life.
Intention. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, very.
I like how you're looking at me and doing this to her.
No, I'm like stiff arming both of you. I just like don't know where to go. Okay, last thing on this. How are we on T-check? Not that bad. You know my grandma. Okay, you know my grandma. Yeah, she's like those like hands. I just don't know. Okay, we had talked about this a little bit. What a kind of just last button on this. So you had, like right now, the what's there's a new one all the time, but right now the current Me Too case is Danny Masterson, that 70s show. And again, very much he said, she said, like, we may never know. He was just sentenced. But something that you had said to me that I thought was really interesting, and again, I think there are two sides of this, is are powerful men a distraction, taking down these wealthy, powerful men who, again, may or may not be doing bad things, but is it a distraction to people who are, you know, poor, of color, who aren't believed and aren't heard? Meanwhile, we're like distracted with these big buzzy names, right? And I thought that was really interesting, because the other side of that is when I interviewed the R. Kelly survivors, I had advocated for at the time, and I wrote an op-ed about this, the huge untouchable, like I'm talking about the Merrills, speaking out about things they know to help people like the R. Kelly survivors, right? Because, and they said this to me, they're basically like, they're worried about their jobs, and if they ain't saying it, how's anyone gonna believe me? Like, help me. So where do you guys kind of fall on that when it comes to like the big powerful distraction down to like the little people, so to speak, right?
You wanna go first?
I mean, it does feel like a distraction, because when you look statistically at how many rape cases have convictions, it's very small. And if you're not the perfect victim, and if you're not wealthy, and if you're not white, the chances of you being believed are drastically dropped. And if you have any interest in any of this, or if you feel an aversion to anything that we're talking about here, like, I suggest that you just look up the statistics, because they're out there and they're available to you. And I think that those numbers will affect everybody to be more empathetic and to recognize that there's a huge group of people victimized that are not believed and not listened to. And in thinking like, oh, look, now we care about women because look at these giant cases, I think that, yeah, that isn't necessarily what's happening.
Plug Mark and Bible Belt. Yes. Bible Belt is just like, it is just my everything. Like I said, it's a voice in my head. 400 streams away from 100,000. Yeah. No, in all honesty, like, it is so innovative. No, literally, same. Repeat. It's so innovative, and you talk about, it's like chilling, but it just gets to you and talks about how, you know, a woman speaks up against a powerful guy, and like the church is like, we'll have your back, and she's to blame.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Right. In terms of what we were talking about earlier, when we were talking about like distraction, I don't even know that I would describe it as a distraction, but I feel like media, we have short attention spans. So media over sensationalizes something, or I guess just sensationalizes it at all. Yeah. It's my first day talking. I'm a woman. I'm not very smart.
I just learned to read yesterday.
It's so hard. I feel like they do that in a way to get everybody really lit up about it, and then their attention dies, and then they're like, well, I cared about that yesterday, so I'm good morally, and I'm going to move on to something else without knowing that it's happening in their backyard and across the street and at the neighbor's house, because we're too busy on our phones. So it's almost like this weird placation that happens with media, so we can get fired up, divide, and then move on to the next topic. And it should be talked about because it's happening, but the real men that are committing the really, really bad stuff are never going to be held accountable. The men that set up the environment to where Danny Masterson can abuse his power and get away with it, if that's what happened allegedly, right? Because can't believe us. Those are the problem. Those men are the problem. But we're not going to get there because we get our fix of feeling morally sound and then we move on. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it.
I feel like that's with everything in our culture.
Yes, it goes
it's like
past.
ADD, and it's just so like, it's a band-aid to everything. It's like, and then we feel good about ourselves. And then 2 seconds later, it's
and then
else.
We're on to the next thing. And that's the thing too. Like, we have to get our sense of community back. We have to look at our neighbor and look at, you know, the people at the grocery store, and also care for the people that have experienced something at the hands of someone powerful. But like, take that outrage you feel, and instead of just making a tweet about it, go see what you can do in your community. Join a group that's helping people on the ground level. You know what I mean?
Women of tomorrow. Yeah, there's so much noise in the ether. So lastly with that, thank you both for sharing everything, your knowledge, your experience, everything with me, bringing like the tits in the brain. Speaking of criticism, like, I had this one guy, and he's like, if you want me to listen to what you're saying, don't wear a low-cut shirt. It's like, dude, your brain's not big enough to handle both. I'm sorry. Like, sometimes it just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry for you. So thank you for bringing it all to the table today. And last thing, plug the shit out of yourselves. And I also want to know if and how men support what you're doing, because we talk a lot about like bringing them in the fold, right? So whoever wants to hop in.
Sure. So Bible Belt is already out. It's about how the church abuses their power. And then Mark comes out tonight, and that is about us as women joining in community and getting revenge on men who have abused us and their power for far too long. Because it's art, I'm killing the guy in the song, but we don't have to kill the people, but we could hold them accountable a little bit more. And
is Mark his name?
Mark is, so a Mark ass trick. Do you know what that is? A Mark is like a dude with a target on his head, right?
I thought his name was really Mark, and I'm like, Mark, no, we are coming for your ass. Actually,
I only know one Mark, and he's a pretty good guy. But
like, sorry to you, Mark.
But it's Mark Leda. He runs Soft White Underbelly, that YouTube channel. He's amazing. Okay. Great guy. But Mark is just Mark ass trick. And then what was the
thing? How men support what you're doing? Because both of you are not, like I said, like, pussy power to the max, like the most knowledgeable about women in Nashville, never mind like that I know and have met. And you are out there loud and proud, like pounding the pavement every day with your messages. How men support you in your orbit and your message.
Without getting too heady, I mean, I generate really wonderful men in my life. So like, I'm making ends meet by dog sitting for a man that's my friend. And two of my managers out of the three are men. And if you pull the scope back, we're all being paid by the same men, even if we're advocating for something different. So men are helping us at all levels. But I'm going to take what they do to help me, and I'm going to figure out how to use it for everybody's benefit and not just a few.
Shay?
So I think a big part of like actually taking all of this emotion and anger, and that's a very powerful energy, and translating it into good, is recognizing that after we leave school, we stop getting an education on these topics. And so we created an online community based off an album that we wrote called Women of Tomorrow. And it's just really vital information, everything from doing the internal work necessary to recognize that you are worthy of the equality you seek, to practice having difficult conversations, and then equipping yourself with the proper facts about what's happening. And not only the facts about what's happening, but here's a step-by-step guide on how to talk to your legislators, who's running for your local elections, how you get a constituent and go talk to a representative of an opposing party in an appropriate manner that's actually going to cause them to maybe change their vote on that bill. And there's strategy in all of this. And we can talk and we can tweet and we can do that all day long, but unless we start getting strategic, we're not going to implement real change. And it's really difficult to do that alone. You need community, and you need people to help you and guide you and show you, and you need a safe space to ask questions. I didn't know how a bill was made. I felt stupid to ask. This is a space where we can ask questions, where we're not going to be canceled, and where we're going to be heard. So that's what
we're, and your organization is bipartisan too, which I love.
It is. You know, we are partners with so many different groups, with Chamber of Mothers. If you're pro-life and that's really staunch belief of yours in this moment, and you're not doing anything to help women carry a healthy baby to term, you're not doing anything to provide women in those hospitals with everything they need to go home with their baby, then you are not pro-life. Yeah. And so if you believe that, we're going to introduce you to Chamber of Mothers. You could be a part of that.
And the last thing is, how do you have guys, because I think even like the guys here before were saying like, you know, how funny, like women talking about men and where are the men to be seen, which I agree with that. It's again, bring them in the fold. So how they support you and what you do.
Oh my gosh, I have incredible men in my life. I'm so lucky to have them. I also know that I also know only what I know from my female eyes and perspective. And in order to be able to speak to men and to be able to speak to humanity as a whole, I have to listen to men, and I have to listen to men that I respect and that I admire and that are going to be honest with me. And I need to be open to having difficult conversations. And I have that. I have like lovely men in my life. Our producer for the Women of Tomorrow album is a man, and he has a daughter and she sings on the album. And we wrote a song called Good Guy about Laura Bell's husband, who has been so supportive of what we're doing. And she has a son, and we're conscious about like, how do you raise little boys to be different? And so I'm very grateful for the wonderful men I have in my life, and all of my friends had boys. It's so interesting. all of my bad
it's like more of them.
Women friends had boys. And that's, I'm like, you're the mothers I want for the next exactly. generation of boys.
So true. All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much. You know, we don't agree on everything, but you really both opened my mind and eyes today. And you know that I just – and I'm not just saying this blow smoke up your ass. Like, yeah, women cheer each other on. Like, I really respect the shit out of – what you both do. You're both, you know, artists of your craft and just, you know, really so passionate. And I just respect what you both do, like, to the nth degree. I think you're both, like, such innovators and trailblazers, really. So, I'd have you in here if I thought anything less. So, hands in.
And don't be
pussy power.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah, and pussy power. What were you saying?
Don't be in an echo chamber. Have friends that have differing opinions.
Which I love.
You, and talk about it like this with so much love. I love and respect you so much. And I think that you're brilliant and so fun. And in the ways that we disagree, I learn a lot in those conversations.
Ditto.
So thank you.
Ditto. Yeah. All right, ladies, that's a wrap. You're all, bye. Bye.